Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Shollycast. Today, we have a special guest. We have Willy Wanker. Hello, Willy.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing good.
For people who don't know already, what kind of work do you do?
I'm a fanfiction writer. I just enjoy expressing the stories that I have in my head about all of my favorite characters, all of my favorite Shota. Lollies here and there.
What's an example of the kinds of Shota or kind of characters that you like?
I'm always a fan of like the bratty kind of Shotas. You know, Damien from
Spy Family, right?
Yeah, yes, we already know who that is. Spy Family. Yep.
I'm in the process of a collaboration with another author right now, and we're co-writing a Spy's Family story. In one of my more rare instances of a straight pairing, usually I do gay stuff, between Anya and Damien, it will have some exhibitionist and public sex scenes with some fisting, a little bit of bondage, but I don't want to give away too much. It should be baited and posted hopefully by the 10th of December. It's a process.
Oh, it sounds fun. I know in the IA we do have some like exhibition and stuff like that and public sex stuff. So that stuff's always fun.
Yeah, it is.
They're definitely top tier kinks. I personally like a wide variety. Water sports, incest, bestiality. You know, it's just the cornerstones.
The works.
maybe some, like, you know, dubious consent and rape. You know, it's really is like whatever the flavor of the day is.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. It, like, sometimes what I'm looking for, like, as some kind of fetish to enjoy kind of varies from day to day sometimes. But usually I'll always have, like, my top three staples, which are usually, they're always going to be straight Shota, Shali Khan, incest. Like, those are always going to be, like, in my top list.
I mean, hey.
If someone gives me something good that's in those categories, I'm going to enjoy it.
Twincest is wincest.
Speaking of, especially when it comes to incest and comes to writing, Dr. X was just telling me earlier today that while the Steam sale was going on, he had bought the coffin of, is it Andy and Lily? Is that what it is?
Andy and Lele.
Lele, that's right. And that's a really good example of almost like a mainstream game that like came to the forefront that has like incest in it. So it's interesting that that sort of thing would be talked about like amongst like the normie crowd.
Yeah, because it's popular and it's been received pretty well as like a game itself. Like, it's a good game as far as people have been talking about it. That really helps, because if it was a bad game, then it wouldn't really be doing favors for like the incest genre. But it is a good game, or so people have been saying. So I bought it earlier today. You might end up playing it on the podcast at some point. I guess like a sort of let's play thing. So I think it might be interesting because it's an incest game, and our podcast is all about like taboo content and kinks and stuff like that. So Willy, you said you're into incest kink, right?
Mm-hmm.
was there anything that in particular that got you into it?
Ooh. Huh. So it's kind of funny because, like, the first, like, three shotas that, like, are my, like favorites, I'm like, oh, wait, he's an orphan. And then I went to the next one, I was like, oh, wait, he's an orphan. Oh, wait, he doesn't have a family. Like, shit. Like, my mind immediately went to, like, Ash Ketchum, Naruto, and, like, Ben 10. I guess the cousin thing was... Personally, I've developed taste for Dad Son and Brocon. But now that you mention it, and maybe it's... I can't quite recall on the spot, honestly. There is Matt and TK, though. They're half-brothers.
I think that's... Is that from Digimon?
Yes. Yes, it is. There's also Callan... Callum, and Ezrin. That's always a fun one. Again, that's also half brothers. Huh, maybe I have a thing for, like, half brother.
Maybe you do.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
look, I'm just discovering new things about myself, okay?
And people don't know, Callum and Ezrin are from Dragon Prince. Watch it on Netflix.
I do need to see that show because I loved Avatar The Last Airbender, and it's written by the same people, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, as far as I'm aware.
I mean, the trailer looks good. I'm still hesitant because I heard that the creators walked in during development.
Well, are you talking about the Avatar The Last Airbender movie or the series or whatever that's coming out? Or are you talking about the Dragon Prince?
Avatar.
Oh yeah, no, I was referring to the Dragon Prince show. Yeah, I did hear that the creators walked out from the Avatar show, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna be interested in a show that didn't even have the original creators involved.
But they're making a new Avatar thing.
Well, it's that live action stuff.
Oh, live action.
There's that live action series, which, you know, people thought it looked cool initially, but I don't know. I'm always like the kind of person where if the original creators that created the actual entire world aren't even involved in it anymore, or even worse, they left the project, then I don't think that won't give me much confidence that it'll be a good series.
I mean, the recent success of the One Piece live action adaptation really raised the bar. Granted, the bar was like
extremely low.
Extremely low.
I mean, you got to remember that even though, yes, One Piece had some success, there were things like Death Note live action. So the bar was extremely low. So,
I mean, the Death Note one wasn't horrible. Okay, Ryuk looked really cringe, but whatever.
I know there's the Japanese live action ones as well. I think those are generally received better.
There was also Cowboy Bebop. That wasn't very good.
So I mentioned like the first three shota to come to mind were Ben 10, Naruto, and Ash Ketchum.
I mean, those are good shotas. Those are pretty solid.
But while those ones are the ones that, like, got me into shota as a consumer, the character that got me into writing was Dipper Pines Mason.
Oh, Dipper. Okay. Gotcha.
So, a little bit of, like, an origin story, I guess you could say. I'm browsing AO3. And, you know, I want some gay ships with Dipper, because I like gay ships. And this is, like, in, like, 2016-ish? And I'm just, like, looking through, and I'm like, all these are so fucking boring. Like, I'm like, alright, he doesn't have any, like, gay ships other than, like, with his, like, grunkles. And I'm like, those are cool, but, like, it's nice to have a little bit of variety. I'm like, oh, what's this pairing? Paranorman? What the fuck is Paranorman? I'm like, okay, I need to research this. So, like, I literally, like, walked to my local library and got the DVD of Paranorman just to, like, research this ship. And out of the thirst I had that was not being quenched for underage ships in the Gravity Falls fandom, I knew what I must have done, and that was to pick up that pen and start writing myself. If I have a message for anybody listening here, it is to create the porn that you wish to see in the world.
Oh, I completely agree. That's what Hydro and I have been doing for a while now, and it's been a great time. The ship you're talking about is a crossover ship, isn't it?
Correct.
Was that your first introduction to crossover ships?
It was my first introduction to writing anything, to the shipping world in general. I was really, I guess you could say, late to the party, late bloomer to the whole content creation thing. I started writing amateur fan fiction when I was 23, 24, give or take. So it's not something that I really did in high school or anything like that. Honestly, it kind of satisfied a boredom that I was having at the time, because I'm not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm rather poor, and if I could have eight years ago started drawing, be an artist instead of an author, I think I would make that choice, even though I love everything I've written and I treasure my effort and stories dearly. I often feel authors, writers are treated like second-class content creators compared to artists. But that's just me. I'm just a little insecure with that, because they get all the attention, because everybody, I feel like reading is a dying art.
When it comes to art, it's much easier for people to immediately digest it, whereas with reading or writing, they have to take a longer time and to appreciate it.
Exactly. I'm gonna be old here and say these kids these days have their TikToks and Vines, and that only goes on for 2 seconds and then it's on to the next thing. I'm just showing my age there.
I mean, that's where I think visual novels kind of bridge that gap a bit, because it allows you as a writer to still write in-depth relationships and stories and characters, but then people who want to see a visual representation of the characters can see the characters in the game as a visual representation.
Totally.
It's funny that you mention 2016, because 2017 is around the same time that I got inspired to make the first IA. And it was a mixture of both me wanting to create something that could satisfy, that there was a gap for me where there were these games that just were not satisfying enough with all the different aspects I was looking for. There was no good straight show to stuff, that the incest was lacking, or that they would just cut it off, there wouldn't be anything conclusive with it, or no payoff, and I just started working on it. And I had been writing before then, but IA was the first actual adult porn game that I actually seriously wrote. And so I totally get that feeling of where you want to create something that isn't there, or that you feel is lacking. And that what ends up happening is it not only becomes something that you're satisfied with, but then you share it with other people and they feel satisfied by it. And then you get people following you or saying to you, hey, this is great. I think you should continue it. And you just kind of go from there.
If I knew who made any of the Flash games, old Flash games on Yowie Haven, I would shake their hand.
Nice.
Pokeboys was great, and all the other Flash games. I miss them so much. I hope they keep doing what they're doing, because they're doing good work, and I appreciate them. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but there's all these great Flash animations and games. Flash is still being kept alive to some degree on Newgrounds these days.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they released their own Flash player on Newgrounds, so could be something for people to look into if they want to revisit Flash games or explore that for the first time. Now, I'm curious, the Poke Boys game, what was that like?
Oh, it was just you captured. Have you ever played Shota X Monster?
I heard of it.
I haven't played it per se, but I've seen streams of it, and you essentially go around and capturing Shota with different abilities, and the more damage they take, you know, the more of their clothes are removed. It was essentially just like that. You would catch like a green haired Shota, and it would know like take down, harden, vine whip, butt fuck,
drink shot.
I'm pretty sure all the Shotas probably know harden.
Hopefully. Yeah, that sounds like a fun game. Well, one of the greatest things about Pokemon are the characters, honestly. Like, the, you know, the Pokemon themselves are great, but the, you know, the human characters are awesome too.
Look, every generation, you cannot go wrong with the youngster, all right?
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I made a whole comic.
Also the preschooler.
I like the youngsters better than the protagonists, to be honest.
Same. Although I think Go is pretty cute. A little bit on the feminine side for me, but like he's pretty good. Wally's up there. Max from third gen. A little bit of a poke nerd, don't mind me.
Well, you're a poke nerd among poke nerds. Yeah, like I know exactly what you're talking about, everything you said.
You're in good company, because we love Pokemon a lot.
Do you have like a favorite Pokemon, Shota?
I think I would say Max from Gen 3, but the original youngster with his comfy shorts will always hold a place in my heart.
Oh yeah, I remember the comfy shorts meme.
I mean, it's from the first generation of games. So
yeah, it was my first Pokemon game was Pokemon Yellow.
Mine was Red. And then I let's hear. I played every iteration of Pokemon up until Diamond, excluding Pearl and Platinum. I skipped Gen 5 completely, but I came back with Pokemon Y, I think it was. And I came back while the Alolan region was being leaked. I like dropped off the Pokemon scene for like a hot minute and then came back with a vengeance. I became like a competitive Pokemon player.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience where I played up to Diamond. No, I think it was Diamond I had. And then I skipped the next two generations for some reason. I don't really know why. It just kind of happened. And then I returned for Sun and Moon. And like you said, it was I really started getting into it, and it was always exciting when I was back into it to like see the leaks for like the new Pokemon or new generation or something. That was fun, and it's still fun.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon is just such a tried and true fandom. So many options, you know. You have your, you know, Riolus and Lucario fans. Wink, wink. As long as the Riolu tops, I'm good.
Oh, you like your Riolu topping?
Look, small doms are the hottest thing, okay?
Well, I think that makes sense, considering you said that you like the bratty Shotas.
100%. Like, I always kind of like viewed Max from Pokemon to be like Ash's younger brother, more than Mei's, ironically. And you know, I just like that pairing, honestly. But there are two Maxes in my heart. And the second major fandom that I started writing for, honestly, pioneered, let me be boastful, was Camp Camp with Max and David.
I've heard of it. It's a cartoon. I'm not sure if it was on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
It's actually was a web series by Rooster Teeth. You might be thinking by Camp Lazlo.
Maybe I was.
Yeah, Camp Lazlo is I'm familiar with, but I haven't heard of Camp Camp, though.
it really popped off in like 2017-2018. It was a web series by Rooster Teeth centered at camp, and the main protagonist, Max, is a jaded 10-year-old who just hates existence and doesn't want to be there. And his attitude and like pessimism and otherwise negative personality was juxtaposed to the camp counselor, David, who was peppy, cheerful, and sickeningly happy all the time. And they really played up that contrast, and it's really well written.
Do you like that pairing between them, like as in a shipping sort of way?
Oh, 100%. It's my... Yes, very much.
Well, it's got age gap stuff, and the Shota character sounds a little bratty in a way.
Oh, he's 100% bratty. he's so good. I'm surprised you guys aren't familiar with him, because his art is rather prolific. Like, art of the character, I should say.
I've probably seen the art before. I'm not like super deep into the like the Yaoi Shota scene. Like I definitely know about it, and I'm probably more so than Hydro, because I do like the Yaoi Shota from time to time. But yeah, I have noticed that when I go on Brag or something, Camp is one of the more popular series for people to make like a Yaoi Shota fan art for. I just wasn't like super aware of what Camp was exactly. So is it something that is, since it's Rooster Teeth and not like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network, it's not geared towards kids, kind of just a general series?
The best show that I could compare it to would be South Park.
Oh, it's more like that. Okay.
It's rude. It's crude. The main character acts like a 10-year-old, you know, cussing. Not to ad nauseum like in South Park. Oh, the South Park boys. Can't go wrong with them. Anyway, focus. But it's definitely a more mature, violent, and adult. Well, maybe not adult, but like late teens. The crude humor, you know what I'm saying.
Like, yeah.
Pretty sure they've had fart jokes.
Oh, yeah, of course, you gotta have that. It's a staple. That's one of the crossover jokes that stays in kids' shows into adult shows.
It's timeless.
Yep.
Just like Shota. Unless they decide to age them up, which they can die. Like, why do they have to like make my TK into like preteen? He was cute as a toddler. How dare you? What age do you think you like you're not a toddler anymore? Like 5, probably. 4? I don't know. Where's the age like break off point between toddler con and Shota con or loli con?
For that, we always, you know, me and Hydro always like consider it visuals the most important thing.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of like in practice and like what usually seems to be the case is that usually I would say the cutoff point and you know, usually would be like around 5, I'd say, something like that. What do you think, Hydro?
I'd say yes, because like using Anya as like maybe an example, like I would say Anya is still like, she's like on the cusp of being like toddler into like, get, you know, so yeah, I would say that's about right. But again, it's like Dr. X said, we don't really, like, we think about more the visual aspect than the actual like age, but in practice, yeah, probably around that age. Because I think about my own comic, the Small Tight Spaces comic with Highwear, and that the character who's a loli, she's like meant to be like a Todd loli, as Highwear calls it.
Did you say Small and Tight Spaces?
Small Tight Spaces is the name of the comic, yeah.
I like that. That's clever.
Yep, because they're stuck in an elevator. Which is a small, tight space, but that's not the small, tight space that the comic's referring to.
Very nice.
But yeah, like Emma, I would say is around, you know, that age that Dr. X and I were talking about, around like 4, like around that, like 4 to 5. So, But I honestly don't think about it that much because I think more about the design and the look. That's what appeals the most to me and Dr. X. So,
yeah,
that makes sense.
I do really like Hiwer's Todd content. It's fun.
Yeah, it is.
They do good work. They do the good work.
So in that relationship, I forgot what was the name of the protagonist in Camp Camp?
Max.
So Max and the, was it the camp counselor?
David, yes.
Since you mentioned it before, do you have Max top?
I have written them in damn near every position possible. I probably just like flip through the Kama Sutra with them.
So you've done every like mixture where Max might be the top or he might be the bottom, back and forth kind of thing.
Honestly, I think my favorite version of him is where he's a power bottom.
A power bottom. Oh.
Yeah.
You know what a power bottom is, right, Hydro?
Yes. maybe. Is it someone who like kind of demands to be fucked kind of thing? Is that what it is? I honestly don't know 100%.
My interpretation of a power bottom is like someone who's like who's dominant in all ways except for the you know, who gets to penetrate.
Yeah.
So they're like assertive and maybe kind of pushy and they're leading the action even though they're the ones being penetrated.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's what I thought. Got it. Yep. That's what I thought. Yeah, that's a fun dynamic.
Like Max is the type of character where he will demand to get fucked by David. And David will refuse, getting all embarrassed and shit. And then, like, in the middle of the night, when, like, David's hard as fuck, Max comes in and ties his arms to the bedposts and then just rides him until he wakes up.
Damn. Well, Max knows what he wants.
Damn right he does. He will fucking get it. There's actually a fucking, I don't want to, I guess a meme, probably. There's a meme of one of the episodes, Max steals David's phone and asks him, like, why he has Grindr. or, like, he like, makes him a Grindr account. I forget, it's been too long. Because it's canon that he stole David's phone, there's a lot of, it happens a lot in like many of the fan fictions I've read where Max will like leave incriminating evidence or blackmail on David's phone of himself. Wink, wink, wonk, wonk. And then that can also be used to as leverage and as power over David. And that's like kind of like their whole like dynamic of David being, you know, the camp counselor is actually a bitch. I love subversions of expectations. Like, oh, you think this character is going to be all like, you know, nice, preppy and happy. But it turns out they're actually like depressed on the inside and like it has a noose in their locker or, you know, or some shit like that. Like, damn, I wasn't expecting that. That's some good writing.
Hydro, in terms of the power bottom thing, you could absolutely say that Kira is a power bottom, honestly.
Yep. So I figured I had written power bottoms and I just didn't realize it. Or like maybe I did know and I just, yeah, okay. Yep. That makes a lot of sense now.
In a way, Julia as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not quite as, Julia's not quite as active as Kira would be during sex, I'd say.
Yeah.
But still, she's like, even though she's getting fucked by Nate, she's still in many ways kind of leading the action.
Yeah, that's right. The album.
Your original characters sound really fun.
Yeah, they're from IA, the game series, the Straight Shadow game series we have. So it mostly focuses on Straight Shadow, and then the second game we do have one Yaoi Shoto option.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. I write that route, and it was fun just exploring a different kind of side of the Shoto stuff, Shoto NSFW stuff.
There's a certain je ne sais quoi about writing gay Shota And there's just a cuteness about writing to Shota, where like supposed to be like, you know, trying to be tough, manly kind of thing, when they're actually like sensitive and, you know, like in the closet kind of thing.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It's a different dynamic compared to writing straight stuff. Definitely different.
Yeah.
That's what I did during the yaoi route I wrote for the game. And still ongoing, of course. But anyways, I made sure to that those kind of elements were in there because by that I mean like making it matter that it's two boys instead of a boy and a girl or whatever. So I made sure to put that in instead of making it just like copy and pasting what I would write for a boy and Loli route.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is different. It, you know, just because, you know, one boy is going to be a bottom doesn't mean, you know, he would say all the things a girl would say.
Yeah, and, you know, funnily enough, the character I wrote for that route is, like, a femboy character, but it's still not the same.
I have a thing with femboys. It's like a love-hate relationship, because I like my Shota being, you know, I like my boys being boys, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. There is merit to like panties and like pantyhose or whatever on Shota.
Yeah.
That can be cute. But like, are you guys aware of The Collector? I forget.
The Collector. I don't think I've heard of that.
Ever watched The Owl House?
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it myself.
Yeah, I heard of it. Have not seen it.
So the long and the short of why I have a love-hate relationship with femboys is The Collector is a Shota. But notably, they go by they, them, he, they pronouns. And they are really androgynous. This has led the collective force of the art community to draw him as a femboy. All the time. All the time. And I'm like, I want my cute Shota. Quit making him a femboy. Like, and it's kind of like, I tend to be like a cartoon purist in the sense that like, I typically enjoy art of a character in their original art style. Obviously, that's like more hit and miss for some art styles. Like, for example, South Park. But like, I want to see Morty from like Rick and Morty look like Morty. Likewise with The Collector. In his art style in The Owl House, he is clearly a Shota and not a femboy. You're like changing the entire character design, and it bugs me.
It sounds like it might be more about the design than specifically the art style.
He's like 3 foot. They're making him like a 5 foot femboy. the proportions are all wrong.
Hydro and I just prefer like keeping the same sort of design. I think in terms of like a Shoto situation, especially we don't want to see them like suddenly grow 2 feet for whatever reason. I mean, it's cool if someone draws art like that, because like I want to support all artists and whatever they make, right? But in terms of, like, yeah, preference, or, you know, we prefer to see Shotas stay Shotas and stuff like that.
Maybe I'm being nitpicky.
Well, you know, we all have pet peeves, even though, like, we, in the end, we support, you know, people making whatever kind of art they want. But, you know, we all have preferences and stuff. What the thing with femboy Shotas, at least, is that what I have noticed is that the femboy stuff can sort of be an introduction or gateway for people to do yaoi or Shota stuff in general.
The normie.
That might end up leading them to doing more less feminine Shota or less feminine yaoi stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could hope.
Yeah, so that's something that could be considered, basically.
Dr. X and I have actually been talking about this type of pairing or this kind of dynamic, and I thought about this would be an interesting question to ask you. How do you feel about if the pairing was, and maybe you've written a story like this already, of like an anthro, cub character. So it'd be like a, you know, an anthro Shota with a human Shota. like that kind of pairing and like their relationship and stuff and them like fucking and stuff like that.
So I have written bestiality before, including like dragons and shit. I don't know, would you count Gore Bunny as like a anthropomorphic character? Probably not.
I think so.
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, because anthro characters compared to like zoophilia or bestiality characters, although some people say it's apparently bestiality is how you're supposed to say it. But the difference there is usually characters like, or Pokemon like Score Bunny actually are, you know, that they're able to like communicate in a way, or at least they kind of are able to understand what a human is saying.
I think the division between anthro and feral, it's usually about whether they're bipedal or quadrupedal.
Oh yeah, that's true too, yeah.
I mean, I guess that could be a distinguishing feature.
It is to me, at least. Because if you think about like anthro art, what most people think about is like humanoid shape with a wolf's head or something, basically. That's what usually anthro is about. And even though, you know, Score Bunny, the shapes are a little, you know, very round because it's Pokemon, of course, it's still bipedal and, you know, has a rough humanoid shape aside from the head being a bunny's face.
I mean, it's not helpful in this particular discussion, but I think intelligence is also a key factor. But Score Bunny is not exactly a genius. So it's kind of still also in the middle of the road. Would Luca count? I think I remember writing a story where Luca was getting like peed on, so he was in like his like half of his like sea monster transformation during sex. See, now that it gets complicated the more I think about it.
Luca is from what?
The movie Luca.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never seen it. So I was trying to think who it was. So then if he's halfway in this transformation, then are you saying that like he has like half of his body is like pure human and the other half is like the, you know, the creature?
Well, according to the lore of the movie, Luca is like a sea monster. But when he goes on land, all of his like scales and like fins disappear. But when he gets wet again, like in rain, his sea monster transformation is revealed. So for all intents and purposes, it seemed like he was quote unquote human on dry land. So like if you dunk like half his body in water, half of it will be scaly, half of it would be, you know, pink flesh.
And that's what you're talking about in the context of the story. He was half and half, basically.
Yeah, so like, do you count that?
I would not consider that anthro personally.
Are you saying this is a mythical creature? It's not anthro. That's discriminatory against the furries.
Well, if he had completely turned into a sea monster, then I would say, okay, yeah, now he's gone more, because I'm assuming he can still talk and communicate and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I would consider that. Well, at least. Again, this is where like the definitions get so blurred because, you know, Dr. X and I were looking up. There was a person who like asked about what's an anime you can recommend me that has anthropomorphic characters, like, you know, characters that are like wolves that like can communicate and speak and stuff, but they actually look like, you know, a wolf, but they stand, you know, on their bipedal, like Dr. X said. And the one of the replies or the answers was like, well, you should watch Monster Musume, which is completely off from what the question was and what the person was asking.
Yeah,
the furry harem one with like the centaur.
Yes, it's like, in other words, they're half human. Yeah, they're like half human, half animal.
I mean, if a character is like basically human but with animal ears and tail, I think it's not really furry. I think that genre is called, in Japan, it's called kimono mimi, which is animal ears. So it's, to me, it's not, it's maybe on the edge of furry, but it's not quite furry.
So anybody who has the internet can look this up, but there's actually something called the furry scale.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen that, yeah.
Art of a lolly character like getting progressively like more and more furry until she's like on all fours and
someone masturbated to the
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I remember when I looked at it, I'm just like, yeah, I'll take them all. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good with all of them.
I think personally I could probably go up three.
It goes up like five times, doesn't it? Like, starts off as pure lolly human, then it goes up to five, which is like literally like just like a fox or whatever, like just an actual feral fox. So it might be that I did 1 to 4. I think
for me, okay, I'm looking at a chart right now. I think I can do, I'm assuming 6 is basically like,
also it goes up to 6.
Okay, I think it's an edit. And number 6 is basically like just like literal fox. That's the edit I'm looking at. I think I can go to 1 to 5 basically. I think for me, in terms of like sexual attraction to stuff, there has to be a certain degree of intelligence, and that's why I can totally work with Pokemon and Pokephilia stuff, because the Pokemon are attractive. They're intelligent.
What you're saying is it's about what's on the inside, not the outside, that counts.
they're intelligent, like they're in the Pokemon universe, they're basically said to be as intelligent as humans or even smarter than them.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like you know Ash got his like testicles shocked by Pikachu every now and then.
well, I mean, he definitely, like, he's had Pokemon that clearly were thirsty for him.
Oh yeah, Chikorita.
Yeah, yeah. Chikorita was mega, mega thirsty for Ash.
Yes.
So horny.
I don't think I would enjoy like a, okay, just think about like a regular IRL dog put into a drawing, like fucking someone. I don't think I would enjoy that personally, because I don't think that there's not enough intelligence or humanness involved in that kind of character for me personally. But in other cases, I can work with it for sure.
I mean, I think I would be able to enjoy it just because of the taboo nature of it in general.
Yeah, and then some people, they can get aroused just from the taboo stuff, just from it being taboo in general. For me, the taboo can help, but it's not enough on its own to push me over the edge to like something that I wouldn't like normally or otherwise. But you know, everyone's has a different relationship to porn.
So the question for the two of you, going back to like what constitutes a furry,
yeah,
is Glamrock Freddy a furry?
But he's an animatronic though. or are you talking about like his depiction as being like a like an actual bear?
I mean, it depends on what video game you source the character from. Because Glamrock Freddy from Security Breach has a very specific, like, more modern, sleek aesthetic. While his original form is much more closely just a bear.
So to be clear, are you still in both cases asking about opinion in the case that the Freddy is an animatronic?
Yes.
I thought about this while you were talking, and Hydro, would you say that like a robot Shota is still a Shota?
Yeah.
Like Apple Boy, Mega Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, like Mega Man would be yes, yeah.
Keeping in mind that, so I'm not like hypocritical, I would say, because I do think a robot Shota would still be a Shota. Yeah, I would say that Glamrock Freddy or whatever is still a furry character, anthro character, even though they're like a robot. It's not usually what furry people go for, but it's definitely still under that umbrella of the furry fandom stuff, for sure.
In that case, I have written Anthro X-Human then, because I wrote a fiction with Glamrock Freddy and Gregory.
Oh, okay.
There's a point to that whole tangent.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I personally love... a Roxy. Like, Roxy's my favorite Five Nights at Freddy's character. Like, especially if she pairs up with Gregory, it's a great pairing.
It's furry with an asterisk, basically.
Well, the funny thing is on our IA channel, we do have, like, a category called Anthro. And in that category, we do, like, consider, like, robots. Like, you know, Jenny from, like, My Life as a Teenage Robot is considered, like, she would be placed in there rather than, like, hentai art.
Yeah, I wouldn't say she's an Anthro, but...
Can I just say, though, that, like, Tucker and Brad, I think is his name, are, like, top-tier pairing for broships.
And they're from what?
My Life as a Teenage Robot.
Oh, I figured.
Yeah.
I think I've seen some art of them on Brig.
There's this one comic. It's amazing. They're in the shower. For a long time, I really loved shower sex. God, that's a hard thing to say.
So usually we ask people how they got into Shota and Loli, and what I'm curious about is, like, how early did you get into Shota or Loli? I assume it's more on the Shota side. Most people say that it was in their teens, but some people say even younger than that.
Probably. I remember I have, again, like, Pokemon was, like, one of my, like, favorite shows, and Ash Ketchum was an early crush of mine. And I remember being, like, 12 on, like, you know, the family computer with, like, fucking dial-up and shit, trying to look up a specific episode of Pokemon. And it was when Ash was trying to beat Sabrina, the psychic-type gym leader.
I love that episode.
And he was instructed by another psychic, a guy, old man, to, like, you know, you must get a ghost type to, you know, be able to beat this gym. And then he just, like, thinks, like, Ash is such a bad Pokemon trainer that he, like, psychically removes his belt and his jeans drop, and he, like, psychically controls his body.
Oh yeah, that's right.
To make him do a little dance in his underwear. And I just remember looking up that as for something to jerk off to when I'm, like, 12. So I guess you could say that I have Ash to thank as my Shota sexual awakening. But he might have been the first, but it blossomed and exploded all over the computer with other shows, other characters. And then it just became a common thing. Like, I don't look at normal real porn. I like cartoon characters more.
I'm on that side too. The fictional stuff is just, there's so much variety and so much good stuff that you can find. Like, it's just a lot more fun.
Like, I like IRL porn, but however, like, when, okay, you go on a Pornhub or whatever, and, you know, you can fap and wouldn't enjoy yourself, but they aren't characters.
Yeah.
They're not interesting, goddammit. They're just people with bodies that they're fucking, you know. For me, it's still appealing. I still like it. However, there's not that added element of, the, you know, in of interest because of them being interesting characters or anything like that.
Simply put, reality is boring and limited. Fantasy is not.
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, I should clarify, I do love IRL tits and ass and stuff like that, but when it comes to, like, you know, it's like, for example, I don't have, like, a list of porn stars that I'm just like, oh my gosh, they're freaking awesome. It's like, no, instead I have a list of fictional characters that I think are awesome that I want to see porn of.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean, because some people will be like, oh, I really love this porn actress or porn star or whatever, and I'm like, I don't fully get it, because I've never experienced that kind of devotion to a person I don't even know in that way.
Some people can get really attached.
Yeah, I mean, there's the whole parasocial thing that we know can go on, but yeah.
I mean, I can understand it if, because a lot of times the like IRL porn that I have on my totally secret hard drive and stuff is usually someone depicting as a character like Power Girl or, you know, just any kind of like fictional character. A lot of times it's pretty boring, but sometimes they do a pretty good job at like capturing the character, and I find those the most appealing out of the IRL stuff.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite kind of IRL porn is cosplay, especially like if the person is trying to act like the character. I think it's my favorite.
I seen a really good cosplay porn like circling around Discord a few months ago. And it was Raven. She had the body paint on, like with Raven's complexion from Teen Titans. And look, even as a gay guy, I gotta give props and respect. That was that was good.
Yeah.
My favorite is probably this one. I forget her name. See, the problem is I don't remember these porn star names, but oh, I think it's Larkin Love. That's right. Larkin Love cosplayed as Power Girl, and like the whole video was basically like her. She wore the exact Power Girl suit and everything, and because her tits were huge and real, yes. the whole scenario of it was, is she's just like, is my outfit like this for your enjoyment? What if I told you it was? What if I told you it's actually made for titty fucking, and then that's like the whole thing, and it was perfect. And I was just like, yes, this is what I like. This is my jam right here.
Nice.
I remember before we started recording that you were talking about that you you've done like bestiality shipping stuff, like for example, Ezrin from Dragon Prince and his dragon companion Zim.
100% he gets that nod. I've also ridden at least once Kurama and Naruto. Naruto was another really early on Shota crush for me. I'm trying to think of other examples off the top of my head.
Probably like Ash and Pikachu, right?
Yeah. That was in the same story with Gore Bunny. Go travels to Ash's island or whatever to get special training, and boy did they train.
Special training.
They got their peepees up, get it?
Oh, that's clever. I like that. But yeah, I've ridden Ezrin and Zim a few times. One of those stories particularly with Callum getting his brother's sloppy seconds and using dragon semen as lube.
Damn.
That one is actually like my most kudoed or liked story with just over 1,000 likes. I'm very proud of it.
Oh, very nice. Good job.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I wrote that long before I had a Barog. I've only had a Barog for a couple months. I'm still getting used to it, but it's all right. I like it. I like platforms that support their content creators.
Yeah, Barog's great, and yeah, that'll be a way for you to get more eyes on your fan fiction. And this episode will be as well, because we're gonna be including links to your stuff.
Appreciate that.
So, if anyone is interested in reading Willy Wanker's fan fiction, be sure to check out his stuff. For people to know even more like what stuff you do, what can they expect when they go on your AO3 page?
A lot of... I have a good bit of original works with my OC Nathan.
Oh, okay.
Rambunctious character. Homeless. He's my homeless OC. I also have plenty of Parapine stuff that's pretty old at this point. A lot of Camp stuff. I have written a few Dragon Prince and Naruto stories. Rick and Morty here and there. A few Boruto stories. Those are my main ones that I have written. I have a story in dozens of different fandoms and shows. if there's a kink, like I said, chances are I've written it. Everything from like Full Metal Alchemist to like Vinland Saga to The Legend of Zelda, Big Hero, Iron Giant.
Oh, wow. Yes, you do have a good variety there.
Owl House, Dragon Ball, you know, Steven Universe. If it has a cute shota in it, I have written for it. That's an exaggeration, but I have written for a lot of different things.
And you're working on the Spy Family one, too, which is a bit out of your normal realm, because it's Lolly and Shota, correct?
True, yes. That is hopefully going to be coming sometime in December. I am also working on a original work that will be added to my Nathan and Friends series, where I was inspired by one of Chrono Pickpocket's works, and he shared a rough draft of my character, Nathan, his character Jack, as well as Jamie and JJ, a couple of our other mutual friends, OCs, all playing D&D together. And I absolutely adored this sketch so much so that it inspired me to write a original work with our characters doing just that. So it's been a difficult project, honestly, because I'm writing a story within a story. I'm writing our OCs, our original characters, making and role-playing their original characters.
Oh yeah, that can be challenging, because you're trying to like figure out how would those characters' personalities decide upon a character they would roll in D&D, and how would they behave with that character.
And, you know, it's not like I'm doing this for like my own character. Well, I am doing it for my own character, Nathan, but I'm not like doing it for like a established character like Ash, for example. These are my friends' OCs, and while I do know them, I don't know them as intimately as an established character that has a ton of like material to like go off of. So that's a bit of a challenge, because when you write fan fiction, a lot of the time your highest priority is writing characters in character. And it's a little, I'll be honest, it's a little bit more difficult with, you know, friends' OCs, because they don't have the wealth of established content that like, oh, I can just binge watch a season of the show and get to know this character's personality and mannerisms from that, you know. Even like a game like yours with your original characters, you know, how many times could I play that and, you know, only get so much from the media, you know what I mean? Depends on how much how much you have to go with.
Yeah, I totally get that.
I'm hoping to get that one out by Christmas as a bit of a Christmas gift to them.
Wow, he's super cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, the good thing is because they're OCs from people that you know, even if you feel like, you're not too sure about what a character might say or what they might do in a certain situation, you can always communicate with those creators of the OCs and be like, hey, you know, how do you feel about the character doing this or that? And I think that's definitely helpful. Like, imagine if you had to write an OC and you couldn't even communicate with the original creator of the OC and they had limited stuff to go on, that would be really difficult.
Yeah, but that also leads to like slightly awkward questions of like, hey Chrono, does your character and his uncle have a relationship? Like, yes. I'm like, cool. Like, because in my head canon, you know, they already do, but you know, I just want to double check with you.
That's funny.
So one of the characters in the original work, his name is Jamie, and I've discussed his character, my friend's character Jamie, a bit with him. And so he's like a more quiet, reserved, really nerdy type. And I know he has like a bit of like a humiliation kink, where he like plays up the nerd like persona a little bit more than like he normally would, even though he is a nerd. But like he really likes getting bullied. So like in the story, he's the first one to come from getting wedgied at his own request. But I quipped to the owner of Jamie that when he said his character doesn't shoot, I'm like, he does in my head canon. And then I private like messaged him like, wait, can he not actually like come in like your like continuity? I'm like, oh fuck, I need to change this entire scene now. Because like, you know, I that was an assumption on my part. I shouldn't have. But like also kind of an important detail to give, you know, the person like writing your character. Like, oh yeah, and he only dry orgasms. I'm like, well, shoot, I can't have him splurging everywhere. Great.
I think usually when you see Shota's important, even in like written stuff, usually they can shoot.
Yeah, where's the fun? Like, where's the fun in the dry? That's, you know, like, what, you know, different strokes.
I think sometimes people like they do the dry cum thing to kind of emphasize how young the Shota is. So it's kind of part of that fetish.
That's a good fetish.
I think in I3 we might have like the Shota character not be able to come at first, but like later on in the game they'll because they have been having so much sex and don't. I know it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's fun. So
who cares? It's fiction.
Because they have been having a lot of sex, they get the ability to come.
Fair enough.
And I personally like that idea.
It's kind of like the best of both worlds in a way.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
So that was a great episode with you, Will and me. We had some great discussions.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, loved having you on. So we'll be providing everyone links to your stuff. So generally speaking, people can see your stuff on Barag and AO3. Are there any sites, or is that pretty much it?
I do have a Shota world, although it's mainly for dumping art of Nathan. But yeah, Barag, Shota world, AO3. Those are really the only platforms that I'm on.
I can't blame you for not having a Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's garbage. Like, people complain about it so much, but I said, okay, then why don't you leave? But it's Twitter. Well, do you hate it or do you love it? Which one?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, in my opinion, because it still is, unfortunately, a great place to get, like, noticed. But at the same time, it's, like, totally pointless if you're just going to get banned anyway. So.
Yeah, wasn't there, like, another ban wave of artists recently?
It wouldn't surprise me. Most of these big companies, they do all their bans and their purging towards the end of the year. I noticed that. I've seen that over the years. Patreon does it. Twitter does it. Discord does it.
Must be like for the fourth quarter, like finance bullshit.
That in the business world, the fourth quarter actually occurs in a totally different time frame, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did have to do with like, oh shit guys, it's the end of the year, the audit, we got to make sure that there's none of that disgusting problematic stuff on our site or whatever they think of. That's what it feels like. I swear it feels coordinated, but Twitter, no, I mean, I can live without it. Barag is like the place to go, along with Athe's good too. Any of these other websites that are not Twitter, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm waiting for Twitter to go the way of Tumblr.
I probably would if they banned porn, that's for sure.
Oh, if they banned porn, I'd be dead.
So that was great having you on, Willie, and you're welcome to come back on whenever you want for another episode if you like, so... Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, dope. I appreciate the open invitation.
Yeah.
I've had a good time.
Me too.
Glad you did.